48, 859. Then stigmata and faith tell the true story. Worship of Belial as Yahweh, in Yahweh's place. My analysis of the visage in the sky in 1963 was correct. Belial ruled this world in a Yahweh costume. The real Yahweh is ubik, pushed to the periphery of trashy TV commercials. My God, it is specifically stipulated that ubik is the, not a, reality support. 48, 861. Santa Sophia is going to be born again. She was not acceptable before, i.e., the first advent was a failure. I have to face that. Crucifixion was not the intended goal. There is no original sin, and hence no vicarious atonement. Paul made it all up to explain why Jesus succeeded, whereas the light went out and a false satanic church arose based on the cross, not the fish. 48, 865. Their experiences, including world in ubik, can't be explained except by their being dead and not knowing it. Through these phenomena, they deduce the truth, their true versus apparent or imagined state. My experiences in 2374 were like those in ubik, and this was before I read the Commedia. Therefore, I am dead. Yahweh is rescuing us by breaking into our Umwelt. What I must keep in mind is that I wrote ubik upon reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, in which our true situation is laid out, the great secret. Being dead, we can rise or sink. If we rise, we can reach the One, Valis, ubik, Yahweh, the Semplice Lume. Note, Italian, simple light. End note. Plotinus. What happened in ubik is that ubik at last throws off its multiplicity disguises and reveals itself as the One which is everywhere in countless disguises. It can be found anywhere but in profane trash disguises, i.e. camouflaged. It pervades the reality that it has created or is. It is not separate from that reality, like artificer and artifact, but it is absconditus, hidden by means of taking countless disguises. Only if it chooses to reveal itself, theophany, can it as sentient volitional unity be detected. This is certainly very much like Brahman. I have found a fundamental error in ancient mystical theory, not corrected until Plotinus. The Orphics and Plato believed that the descent and ascent of the soul was a spatial trajectory, past the planets to the stars, to and from. Aristotle believed in the sublunar and supralunar realms. Plotinus realized that the realms are not spatially different, but are levels of being outside time and space. This basic error shows up later on in imagining heaven as being in the sky, even with Schiller. Muss ein lieber Vater wohnen überm Sternenzelt. Note. German. A loving father must dwell above the starry canopy. From Schiller's Ode to Joy, a version of which appears in Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. End note. So transcendent deity is supposed to be remote either spatially or as if spatially, and immanent deity is near. Deity is considered outside the universe, as if spatially far off and beyond the universe, the way an artisan is outside his artifact. This despite Plotinus and his concentric levels or rings of being. In the Commedia, they travel upward physically, i.e. spatially. God is not here, he is there, in the sky. This is corrected in ubik. It all has to do with the confusion between the Pleroma and the Psylum, the latter being the vault of heaven. If this error is made, then there exists no conceptual framework to account for the sort of non-spatial rising to a superior, i.e. higher level of being in this lifetime, a la Plotinus, while being spatially unmoved, i.e., not ascending to the xylem. Note: xylem is most likely Dick's version of the Latin word calum, sky. End note. If the spatial idea is abandoned, transcendent deity is as close as immanent deity. By viewing it as a non-spatial journey, Plotinus made it available to this lifetime. I mean, if you're alive and in your body, how are you going to travel up past the planets one by one? I see. Ubik stipulates that they are dead, and so to speak, inadvertently, has the divine Ubik available in the trash level, close at hand. So I'm not dead, Supra. It's just that Plotinus is right. 48, 874. Hypnagogic thought. Elijah operating you, whom I call Thomas. Thomas is Elijah. Two routes to determining the spurious. 1. Observation of reality, the joint syndrome. 2. Memory. You had not been here but elsewhere, and were someone else. 1 and 2 are twin prongs. They are the only route to detecting a pseudo-world. Either one alone is conclusive, but both would logically exist. So if either is detected, the other could be logically. In the case of two, you were evidently taken from the real world to this one, and your memory tampered with. In the case of one, your perception's cognition are occluded. So if you can see de-occluded and also remember, then you know. I realized this while having a dream that I was back again at 1126 Francisco Street. It seemed real. To verify, I could either 1. Carefully scrutinize this reality for signs of simulation, or 2. Remember where I really had been, or am now really. 1 and 2 together would mutually reinforce and exclude any possibility of error. I studied a lamp, the little red lamp I used to have, and it did not seem quite real. Okay, point 1. Then I remembered, but only dimly, being later and elsewhere, but could not pin it down to Santa Ana, 1979. Still, just the impression, because it pointed to lack of history, of continuity, was enough. Thus, within the dream, I was able to determine that it was irreal, and I drew the conclusion that God was providing me with 1126 Francisco as a wish-fulfillment reward, since I liked it. However, in the case of Santa Ana, 1979, I cannot draw that conclusion. It is more of a punishment. And in 74, when the punishment got too great, the pain and fear too much, I woke up. The dream world of 1126 Francisco Street draws on actual memory, my memory. Often I speculate that this one is drawn from memory constituents, fed back to me. See, in the dream, the only reference point I have against which to check the veracity of the world is my memory. And the world is drawn from that very same memory, a better, unimpaired source of it than mine. So the reality will invariably hold up. It's like deciding something is real by comparing it with itself. So it's a foolproof simulation if based on that basis. So in a sense, the more you reality test in the conventional way, the more convincing it is, if it is contrived out of half-forgotten memories, not recognized as memory, and compared to memory itself, it can just spin out pseudo-world as if from a bottomless well. And the cutoff point is the same for world and comparison so pragmatically it equals Y. Nonetheless, all I'd have to do is remember being somewhere else and someone else, but to also see reality as simulated. If you put pressure on the reality, and if it's based on forgotten memories, it'll just spin out more and more of itself, like the dialectic. The proliferation of multiplicity is a guarantee of nothing Since sensory deprivation allows the mind to auto-spin out world endlessly to fill the vacuum. The raising of the perceptual occlusion will indicate irreality. But anamnesis does more. It indicates, in contrast, a real world and a real you. So it does not just dissolve away. It substitutes real self and real world. 48, 882a. That dream about the tall building, Alto Carmel. There were fire engines parked around it. And it was on Mount Carmel that Elijah called down the heavenly fire. Phoning my friend Elisha. Dream of prophet called Elias. Tom Dish felt that the personality who had taken me over was Elijah. It was near the time of Passover. But he didn't connect it with the prophecy in Malachi that the return of the spirit of Elijah heralded the advent of the Messiah. But since then, I've heard all the prophecies by the AI voice. Perhaps also significant is that it was Elijah who experienced the theophany of Yahweh as the low murmuring voice, just as I do. He was afraid of the Romans because, as John the Baptist, he had been killed by them. My dream about being in the cage in Roman times. And this would be why he spoke thought in the Koine rather than Hebrew and remembered the Christians as illegal, a secret underground. He expected Christ to return very soon and felt joy, not sorrow. Also, the dream of the pitcher of cool water and the wrapped cube, i.e. cake of food, they are mentioned in 1 Kings regarding Elijah. They kept him alive, provided by God. This would seem virtually to cinch it. 48, 897. It is as if the New Testament presents us with clues to the solution of a puzzle, the puzzle of what to do to be saved. It's there, but in cryptic form, offered again and again. We're presented with the test or problem, and we either solve it or we do not, and God, Yahweh, is the judge. There is no other way in through the gate. It's both hard to solve and easy. It's a riddle that we do not take seriously. That's the key. We're told the riddle, and we're told that our salvation depends on it. But we don't take it seriously. Again, it's the low murmuring voice. The crux situation is going to show up where and when, and in a form that we don't suspect. 48, 901. So Yahweh touches you initially. Be you man, e.g. Asher, or God, Belial, in such a way as to startle you, rouse you. You have been asleep without knowing it, and presumably dreaming. You are not actually conscious, yet you don't realize it. The touching is not pleasant, it rasps. This is the deity, this rasp. The touch can't be worked into the dream, vide ubik, from outside the dream. It can't be worked into the dream because it is from outside the dream. 48, 902. The rasp can't be worked in. Consider dreaming. A sound in the real world occurs. The mind, yours, tries to work it in, to continue the dream. If it can't, your own mind, the dream is aborted and you wake up. But the mind, yours, tries to prolong the dream. So the rasp is dysentonic. Then perhaps some stuff from beyond is worked in syntonically, and you don't wake. The rasp is intentionally dysentonic. Another mind, Valis, is signaling you. Wacht auf! Note. German. Awaken. End note. This is half-life, not after death, but before true birth, full complete birth, hence born again, or from above, the upper realm. 48, 907. The BIP and PTG must be sine wave pulsation. Our dream world auto-produced. Risk. Shrinking from risk. Hence retracting from knowing. Unity of opposites. BIP and PTG. High stakes. To try for PTG, you risk BIP. Could go either way. Retreat from epistemological risk. Too dangerous. Heaven and hell. Purgatorio as compromise for the faint-hearted. Not so much war as gamble. Like turning up the next card. Eagles. It could be heaven, it could be hell. That's it. Strive for PTG. Drop to BIP. They both are real, and yes, Valis regained is correct. Final seventh battle outcome will retroactively decide. Roll back through time. VR is correct. Valis got through to me. Absolute faith in Yahweh is required. Here is where primal angst enters. Awareness. VR comes in. Awareness of what losing would mean, BIP. Worse, no sign, nothing, no you and no world, cosmic death. Heidegger is correct, the risk. The universe could turn into a dream because, in point of fact, our universe is a dream. If you abandon it, what will cut in to replace it? The BIP, which is also the PTG. 48920. The turning point for me came when I saw three women. Then I understood, and soon saw the sacred tetragrammaton, received the crucial identifying revelation in confirmation. When I saw three women, I knew, and at the deepest level, I was terror-stricken. Either I believed in Yahweh, or there was doch nicht. Not the salvation of my individual soul and or immortality was at stake, but what I call the existence of existence. I, in 374, was given an example of the role of Valis working at a level deeper than that of saving one man, me, or all men. Rather, the guarantor of substantia as such, all substantia as a single totality. This is power beyond any that I could ever, without the 374 demonstration, have imagined. Even the existence sign of evil was at stake. Without Yahweh, there wouldn't even be evil, or chaos, or pain, or loss. I would not be I, and world would not be world. This has led me back to the kind of comprehension that must have gripped the early Hebrews, the essence of Moses' vision gained from the theophany at Mount Sinai. The deepest level of reality is Yahweh. This is what is meant by Creator. It is not precisely artificer to artifact, and it is not precisely pantheism. It was reading Heidegger that caused me to understand it. My years of acosmism has been a search for Yahweh, who had to exist if the world really existed, rather than only seemed to exist, dokos, or dream, auto-generated by each percipient, viz., idios cosmos only, just a lot of them. I had construed the problem correctly, but only upon three women did I fully appreciate the problem, did it really wash over me and leave me terrorized, whereupon the solution came. Spinoza was a crucial help to me. This view, Deus sive substantia sive natura, does not lead to the Platonic body-soul dualism, but leads back to world affirmation, to immediate deity. God and nature are inexorably inter-involved. The problem is that a mock creation has filtered in, which must be transubstantiated into the real, e.g., Yahweh. My God, I seem to have become profoundly anti-Platonist, beyond the tragic vision regarding Plato. Note: Beyond the Tragic Vision is Morris Peckham's 1963 history of 19th century Europe. Endnote. As if correcting the error, Plato made vis-a-vis Parmenides, i.e., when I wrote, Parmenides did not say there were two realms, a priori and empirical. He said there were two ways of viewing one reality, one right way, a priori, and one false, empirical. Plato misunderstood this and assigned some reality to the empirical, as if it were a partial realm, rather than a way of knowing a partial way, not realm. And the other basic error in Western philosophy, held by e.g. Pythagoras and the Orphics, corrected by Plotinus, was the error that the journey of the soul was spatial, first down from the xylem, past the planets, and then back up again, an error held again by Plato. In this ontological view of the journey, rather than spatial, Plotinus anticipates Heidegger. The upper realm is spatially here, not there. I should know. I entered it in 374. And if here, it can be entered in this life, not just after death. The journey is not past the planets, but more like a bardo total trip through levels of ascending ontology to Yahweh, the Urgrund. So Plato, and to some degree Aristotle with his sublunar and supralunar realms, made two fundamental interrelated errors which affected Christianity, but not ancient pre-Hellenistic Judaism. For the ancient Israelites, God was in nature firmly. He was in fact a God of nature, as the E.B. points out. The Megiddo mission is absolutely right about the Hellenistic origin of the body-soul dualism. It is Orphic, Pythagorean, Platonic.